just tune in to this program. This is Lin Sin Sin from Singapore. I shall now read to you a poem in Mandarin.
And welcome. You're tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. Today is Friday, August 26th. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. And joining me tonight on the show is Tone Master David Chim. And David Chim is a world toner, and we're going to go into more of that. I'm learning more about it myself. And if you have any questions during the show, if we have time, you could always call into 888-815-9756. And also at the end of the show, after the interview, I'm going to be going over 14 conspiracy theories that the media now admits are conspiracy facts. And we talk about this a lot on the show, or different conspiracy theories, I mean. And you can call conspiracy theories that if you're not open to looking up the facts that we talk about here in the show, because everything that I talk about here in the show, I post up on the website, as well as encourage everyone to not take me for my word, but to go and do your own research and check this stuff out. So some things that have been happening and been a lot of talk on this week is the comet Elenine, who is, well, it depends on what you read, but who could be a comet or a spaceship or a planet. It's called Nibiru. It's called Planet X. It has many different names, many different forms and shapes, depending on which source you go with. But I've been reading a lot about this lately because that comet or planet, whatever you want to call it, is coming back around in orbit again and will be reaching an alignment between the 23rd and 24th of September. And the last 25 times that this comet has aligned, which has been like, I think it's every like 5 or 6 months, the last one was March 11th, which was a big earthquake in Japan. The one before that was Christtown when it aligned in New Zealand. Before that, it was Chile when it aligned. So we have the closest alignment coming up from the comet Elenine, or Nibiru, whatever you want to call it. So that is coming up next month, so be aware, and be aware meaning that please get supplies, food, water, who knows. You know, everyone in the East Coast obviously felt something this week. We'll talk about that in a moment, which is the earthquake on the East Coast. But this is a month that you should really pay attention to because there will be some Earth changes coming. The last 25 times that this comet has come around in our orbit, things have happened. So it's something to pay attention to. Also, just here locally this week, for all the local Ashevillians here in the area, I have been noticing and seeing ton of Army personnel. There's been helicopters all over the place, and I'm all over Asheville and the surrounding areas, and I've seen multiple times black helicopters right over my house, over other people's houses. They're in packs of 2 and 3. I just uploaded some pictures today on my Facebook of a pack of 3 black helicopters I took pictures of yesterday. And not only that, but there's even been aircraft, black aircraft flying really low, the lowest I've ever seen an aircraft fly, right over the mountain. Big, big aircraft. And it's not just here, but all over. And I have friends, at least 8 or 9, that have seen these different military planes and helicopters and stuff all week, all over the place. And I also saw a convoy of about 12 Army trucks and some Hummers on I-40 on the highway up here. And there's also some other strategic trucks that they're moving around called Panther, these Panther semi-trucks, some Panther Logistics. I never heard of them. It looked like a like type of Blackwater group. But anyways, there's a lot of military movement going on here, and it was starting all week before the earthquake on the East Coast. So there's definitely something big going on, something that we're not hearing about. There's been crazy electrical storms on Tuesday right before this earthquake, and also on Monday, these big electrical storms that can be seen from miles all to 4 different states that are reported in, and there was nothing that was on the radar here in the Weather Channel. So we've been having these weird electrical storms, and there's a lot of activity going on. So all the local people here, if you have seen military craft, stuff like that, just spread awareness about it and pay attention, because there's something going on and you need to pay attention to this stuff. It's very important. So on to the earthquake that we experienced, especially North Carolina. Pretty much about 10 states felt it. And there's a couple different reports that I've been looking at this week on the cause of it. They're calling it an earthquake, but my common sense just says an earthquake you do not feel from Pennsylvania all the way down to Georgia, all the way as far inland as Chicago, Detroit. And that's where it was felt, all over the place in like 10 states. And the first thing that came to mind was fracking. Now, we talked about fracking last week on the show when we had the children on, and we talked about how the hydraulic fracking that you're doing and how important it is to stop that and how dangerous it is. Now, this article I found early in the week, it says, did fracking cause the Virginia earthquake? Braxton County, West Virginia, 160 miles from Mineral, has experienced a rash of freak earthquakes, 8 in 2010, since fracking operations started there several years ago. According to geologists, fracking also caused an outbreak of thousands of minor earthquakes in Arkansas, as many as 24 in a single day. It's also linked to freak earthquakes in Texas, western New York, Oklahoma, Blackpool, England, which had never recorded an earthquake before, and those places. East Coast quake cracks Washington landmark. That also happened due to the quake that happened on Tuesday. The actual obelisk, that big monument in Washington, D.C., was actually cracked and chunks of it fell. Now, to some, that is pretty monumental. The surprise earthquake that rattled the U.S. East Coast opened a small crack near the top of the iconic Washington Monument, prompting officials on Wednesday to indefinitely close the building, one of the city's major tourist draws. The giant stone obelisk, Washington's tallest at 555 feet, each day draws hundreds of tourists who ascend the structure for breathtaking views of the city and its surroundings. But Tuesday's quake opened a 4-inch long gash in the building, raising fears of more serious structural damage not visible to the naked eye. So it was definitely felt from Georgia all the way up the East Coast. And that was an initial thought that I thought was maybe it's fracking, but the also thought came into play as, well, it's not an earthquake, because an earthquake would not be felt for thousands of miles. It was more like an entire plate shifted. And then I was doing more research on different websites and looking at different news articles, and I found some YouTube videos that talked about a actual plate that is here in North America. I think it's the Quantum Plate, and that is what sort of shifted. There was all earthquakes all along the line of this huge plate that goes across North America that hasn't really moved in a long time. Now, another earthquake that happened the same day, almost the same magnitude, in Colorado. And they haven't been talking about that pretty much at all in news. In fact, when I was watching the news, I was actually at the gym watching all the different news channels, this one, that one, they're all talking about the earthquake. None of them were talking about the Colorado one. As well as, there was a 7.0 earthquake in northern Peru on the same day, a magnitude 7.0. You didn't hear anything about that either. But these are the definite big earth changes that are happening. And, you know, New York and all those East Coast states that people have been saying those are not safe areas. Another reason is the coastal cities are very susceptible to water rising, as well as like the hurricane that's going to the East Coast right now. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Now, the other part of it, of the research I've been doing and looking up, is seismic evidence that actually was taken on Tuesday. Now, the seismic evidence of this, what they're saying from this, proves that it was an actual underground nuclear detonation. And this article states, seismic evidence reveals underground nuclear detonation south of Washington, D.C. Seismology charts are now revealing that the 5.8 magnitude tremor that rattled the entire East Coast, including Washington, D.C., was not a natural earthquake, but an earthquake that resulted from an underground nuclear detonation. And I've read a couple articles on this, and I've seen the charts, and it does look like that. So it's probably, it could be a combination of both, or it could be one or the other. They could be intentional underground nuclear power things that could have been sabotaged from other countries. It could have been a result of the fracking. It's probably a combination of everything. But there's different news sources, as always, that we talk about, news sources that aren't reported here in mainstream. And these are the ones that really open up your mind and report on not always the 100% correct stuff, but another side of the spin to the news. So you get one side from, say, our media, and you get another side from somewhere else, and you got to find the middle in between and see what resonates with you as truth. Now, due to this, the earthquake, several things have happened. One of the biggest things that happened was 12 nuclear power plants along the East Coast and Upper Midwest declared an, quote-unquote, an unusual event where they had to shut down facilities or shut down something or backup generators where something happened, 12 that we know of, that, that something happened because of that at nuclear power plants. They are Peach Bottom, Three Mile Island, Sequoia, Lumerick in Pennsylvania, Salem, Hope Creek, and Oyster Creek in New Jersey, Calvert Cliffs in Maryland, Surrey in Virginia, Sharon Harris in North Carolina, and D.C., Cook, and Palisades in Michigan. All plants that have had problems because of the earthquake. Now, the Anna nuclear plant, forced to vent steam following power failure from Virginia, was a nuclear power plant in Virginia that was forced to release steam after losing electricity and a generator used to cool the plant failed. Now, if you know anything about nuclear power plants, you know that they cannot be shut down because the cooling pods or the cooling pools always have to be moving and the water always has to be cooling them. That's why they have all these backup generators and everything like that. So this plant goes offline, but then I found another article a few hours later, which was backup generator cooling nuclear power plant shut down by Virginia quake fails. So their backup generator cooling has failed. The NRC is now reporting one of four backup generators that has been shut down at the epicenter of the 5.9 Virginia quake has failed. So even their backup generators and cooling systems are failing, and that is not good. What does that eventually mean? It eventually means that a meltdown happens. That's what happens when you stop cooling the cooling pools. They melt down. That's what's happened in Fukushima and at all other plants that we've been talking about here, like the Mississippi's been over flooding and it's been causing nuclear plant problems along the Mississippi. So there's been other problems in the last few months here. These are things to pay attention to. It just goes to show you that, A, we should not be building these things. Whoever let a nuclear power plant be built that you cannot shut off? I mean, seriously, it's like, I don't get it. Anyways, I did some more research and found another article that was titled Quake Sensors Removed Around Virginia Nuke Plant Due to Budget Cuts. A nuclear power plant that was shut down after an earthquake struck central Virginia on Tuesday had seismographs removed in the 1990s due to budget cuts. The U.S. nuclear officials said that the North Anna Power Station, which has two nuclear reactors, had lost off-site power and was using diesel generators to maintain cooling operations after the 5.9 earthquake hit the region. The North Anna plant, which was near the epicenter of Tuesday's quake, is reportedly located on a fault line. So explain to me how budget cuts in the 1990s would take the seismic sensors off the power plant, a nuclear power plant that's on a fault line. Seriously. Seriously, are you kidding me? It's like, who makes these rules? Who does the budget cuts? If it's on a fault line, that should be the most important thing that it has. What's up with that? Moving on to the hurricane we're talking about, Hurricane Irene is moving up the East Coast, and it's packing a punch, so people on the East Coast should watch out. The Hurricane Irene is gusting winds up to 150 miles an hour, and NOAA forecast shows eye coming ashore at Connecticut nuke plant by Sunday evening. So here we are again with more nuke plants in the line of disaster. If Hurricane Irene keeps its projected path, a region unaccustomed to natural disasters may experience two in a single week. And this article goes on to say that even if Irene reaches New York as a weakened Category 1 or 2, it could still wreak considerable havoc because the city is simply not prepared to handle such storms the way Florida or the Gulf Coast are. In a worst-case scenario, here are the top five threats New York City would face from a major hurricane. And then it goes on at the top five. I'll have this article up on the website, starcyenergyradio.com, after the show. So be aware, if you're on the East Coast, you have a powerful storm. If you look at it from satellites, you will see that the actual image is bigger than Katrina. The actual hurricane is bigger than Katrina. So photos and videos of massive oil slick found at BP's Deepwater Horizon Gulf spill site. This is a new article that came out actually yesterday. And this is a new video and pictures from the Gulf oil crisis that's showing new fresh flows of oil coming out from the site of last year's disaster, a.k.a. the BP oil crisis. It is not shut off. That was a big media scam that they pulled on the public to shut the media off. It's like they showed on the public media that they shut the pipe, and then you never hear about it again. It's like they shut off the issue, they shut off everyone's consciousness, and they just shut you off. The pipe is closed, out of sight, out of mind, and that's it. So it hasn't been the media. But that oil pipeline or whatever that has been blown up down there purposely is still leaking oil. And that has been documented yesterday by new videos and photos out there right by the site. Also, Monsanto GM corn in peril. Beetle develops BT resistance. This was an awesome article I found. I'll read it again, the headline. Monsanto GM corn in peril. Beetle develops BT resistance. Basically, this beetle has developed a chemical resistance to the Monsanto GM crops. I mean, that's awesome. It's one up for nature. So go nature. I'll read a little bit of the article. Nature herself may be the best opponent of genetically modified crops and pesticides. Not only plants, but insects are also developing resistance. The western rootworm beetle, one of the most serious threats to corn, has developed resistance to the Monsanto BT corn, and entire crops are being lost. Farmers from several Midwest states began reporting root damage to corn that was specifically engineered with a toxin to kill the rootworm. Iowa State University entomologist Aaron Gassman recently confirmed that the beetle, Diarabric virginis virginarum, has developed resistance to the BT protein. So pretty cool that even nature just goes to show you, you try to kill it or use chemicals to take it out, and Mother Nature always find a way to come back. Moving on. Anonymous. This is an awesome activist group. They're a bunch of hackers. We've talked about them before. It is an awesome way to sort of, quote-unquote, fight back the system and using nonviolence, of course, as always. Anonymous is a online activist and hacker program. They're supposedly taking down Facebook, I think, on September 5th, I heard, or something like that. Anyways, this anonymous protest that happened in San Francisco, it turned violent. The police came. They cracked down on it. It was a peaceful rally. And this is just another article. We've been talking about this for months. It's been a really big crackdown all across the U.S. on freedoms and rights. And it's just not cool what's been going on. They've been busting up lemonade stands and grabbing news cameras and arresting people for taking video pictures of cops and all sorts of things. It's been a very, very big crackdown on everyone's rights. And this is just one more story that shows that people better wake up and take action, because one day everyone's going to wake up and it's going to be a totally different world. Moving on to the Obama-Gaddafi, what is going on over with Libya. And I talk about this because it's important that people see just how the U.S. works, that we just go in and take what we want. And that's really what's going on. It's going on. It's been going on. This is not new news. But this headline basically says everything. U.S. will be partner with Gaddafi once era is over. Basically saying that not Gaddafi, the Gaddafi era, and Obama is going to be partners with the new led regime that the UN just landed on the shores of Tripoli this week when they had an assault on the capital with the quote-unquote rebels, which are basically UN-gunned and UN-backed, and UN is basically the same thing as our army. It's the same global elitists that control it. So this article basically talks about how we're just going to be great friends with the new leaders, and of course that's what we do. We don't like the leaders of Iraq. We go and we put in new leaders, and we become partners. We don't like the leaders of Afghanistan. There's terrorists there. We go in and we become partners with their leaders. The leaders that we put in that will do what we do. Now, it's not just in Libya or Afghanistan or Iraq. It's been going on for the last, I don't know, 80 years. And you can look at all different eras of the U.S. just going in, saying what they want, and taking what they want, and spitting it off as a campaign like Libya, where we're just there to, you know, support the rebels. Now, when the actual fighting began, when they did the siege on Tripoli, within 11 hours, 1,300 innocent civilians were killed in Tripoli and 5,000 injured. As French Foreign Legion and Al-Qaeda cut their way through, all this time, the bombings continued nonstop. Three Apache helicopters flew over the city, firing their miniguns and machine guns. And the gangs that were landed on the beaches were burning houses, looting shops, assaulting every woman in sight. Any prominent supporter of Gaddafi was targeted and their houses attacked first. The number of gangs is still increasing right now, coming in from the sea on small NATO crafts and directed by the special forces of the aggressor nations, which is the UN and the US. Right now, the situation is unclear due to the powers cuts of information and blockade. Now, I've watched tons of videos all week where there's reporters in Libya that are being told to stay in their hotels or not being told, you know, what's really going on. They're being shot at, and it's a total media cover-up. We're saying that the rebels, you know, went in and we're only supporting the rebels. Now, everyone forgets, or not everyone, but the most people or that listen to mainstream media don't even know is that the largest protest in history went on in Libya just a few weeks ago. 1.7 million people turned out in the capital, Tripoli, which was 95% of the population, to protest to get the UN and US out of Tripoli. So what they're playing it off as is that we're helping the rebels, and we're sending in the rebels to liberate Tripoli, and they're all in support of, you know, they all want us to be in there. That's totally not it at all, because 95% of the capital of Tripoli protested. 1.7 million people in the world's largest protest ever on record a few weeks ago to protest the UN out of there. So what do? We land tens of thousands of hired mercenaries and troops on their beaches, and we storm the capital and wreak havoc. Before that, we bombed the capital for 24 hours straight without even resting for 10 seconds. And just to give you an idea of how many engagements we have been in, I actually found a list that since 1979, since I have been born in 79, that's when I was born, the United States officially, which is a secular nation but prominently Christian, attacked El Salvador, 1980, Libya, 1981, Sinai, 82, Lebanon, 82, Egypt, 83, Grenada, 83, Honduras, 83, Chad, 83, Persian Gulf, 84, Libya, 86, Bolivia, 86, Iran, 87, Persian Gulf, 87, Kuwait, 87, Iran, 88, Honduras, 88, Panama, 88, Libya, 89, Panama, 89, Colombia, Bolivia, and Peru in 89, Philippines in 89, Panama, 90, Liberia, 90, Saudi Arabia, 90, Iraq in 91, Zaire in 91, Sierra Leone in 92, Somalia in 92, I think that was Black Hawk Down, the movie, Bosnia, 93 to present, Macedonia, 93, Haiti, 94, Macadamia, 94, Bosnia, 95, Liberia in 96, Central Africa Republic in 96, Albania in 97, the Congo in 97, Sierra Leone in 97, Cambodia in 97, Iraq in 98, Guinea in 98, Kenya and Tanzania in 98, Afghanistan and the Sudan in 98, Liberia in 98, East Timor 99, Siberia 99, Yemen in 2000, Afghanistan in 2001 to the present, Yemen in 02, the Philippines in 02, Iraq in 03 to the present, Liberia in 03, Georgia in 03, Georgia, Yemen, Kenya, Ethiopia, and the war on terror launched in 04. Pakistan drone strikes have started in 04 until present, and also in Somalia drone strikes in 07 started, which are still to present, Georgia in 08, Syria in 08, Yemen in 09, and now Libya. Woof! That took like 2 minutes to read. But that just goes to show you really what's going on. The Americans just go in and take what they want, and they use policies and whatever else and spin on world media to make it all seem okay. Also, a new headline, the World Bank ready to help Libya. I thought that was pretty funny as a headliner. Of course the World Bank is ready to help Libya because those are the guys that are going to step in and bail out Libya to help rebuild it and then say, we're going to give you draconian austerity measures to borrow this money. And we all know draconian austerity measures are. If you don't, Google it. Look it up. It's pretty interesting stuff. Also, the U.S. just sent over its new fleet of stealth warships to test China's nerve. These new vessels, which are high-speed stealth warships, are sent over to the South China Sea, which is in disputed waters by Beijing. And there's basically a little four-nation standoff over there with China. And there's basically one of the largest rich oil and gas, natural gas things over in that sea over there, and there's all this disputed waters, and we just sent our new stealth warships over there, which is not going to be cool for China, and we might even have a reaction from China because they have been behind what we've been reporting on, a lot of things that have been going on in the world with their new scalar devices and weaponry, and I'm sure they're not going to respond too well to our new stealth warships. And the last article I'm going to go over, this is Australia 60 Minutes, Fukushima radiating everything and everyone on Earth, unspeakable impact upon all of humanity and the planet. This was on the Australian 60 Minutes on national TV. It was an episode about Fukushima, basically saying that the Japanese people are human guinea pigs right now. They're not releasing any of the real information. Radiation is covering the entire Earth at an unspeakable impact and will be felt upon all of humanity and the planet. Now, the whole international press have blacked out the worst catastrophe in modern history. So this is a humble reminder of what really is going on in Fukushima and beyond today. There is a crime against humanity happening right under our noses, and everyone just seems to want to ignore the problem. All we can hear is a deafening silence. So please spread the word about this article, video, the radio show, anything to get the word out there that this is serious, and people here are already feeling the effects of the radiation fallout. That's a fact. We talk about the baby deaths have had a spike in Philadelphia by doubled up to 48%. There's people already dying from the radiation. That's a fact. It's happened. It's reported. You need to be aware of this stuff. So you can be taking certain vitamins and stuff like that to counteract the radiation activity of whatever you're getting it from. The air, the drinking supply, the food supply. That all over California, they found in multiple different vegetables and stuff, radiation in the milk. There's so much stuff out there. Just Google and YouTube radiation fallout from Fukushima, U.S., and you will find hundreds of videos, independent reports, all sorts of things from all over the world, that this is real. So get this information out there, because to be aware is to be alive. And with that, I'm going to cut to the next track, and when we come back, we'll be talking with David Chim. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another track from Hong Kong Destination. Welcome back. That was Clear Cut Bomb the Base from Destination Lounge, the CD Hong Kong. And it was an awesome CD I got out when I was actually out in Asia. And with that, I also want to give a shout out to my friend Carmine over and living in Hong Kong. And also to my father, who is heading out to Hong Kong next week and over to Bali. He's going to meet up with Carmine. So hope you guys rock it out there in Asia. And joining me now on the line and on the show is David Chim, a master toner. And David has had an extensive background for someone his age, younger than me, and has been traveling for almost 4 or 5 years now, I think over 4 years. And basically, to classify David Chim, he would classify himself as an independent researcher, researching biophoton, bioplasma, bioenergy, broadcasting and radiation, and the transfer process of bioenergetic flow and motion. And with that, David, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. Thank you, Jonah.
Absolutely. Now, some of the things that I found, like, you know, when I was researching more about some of the stuff you do, talk about what exactly is the, when you talk about biophoton, bioplasma, bioenergy, what exactly is that? Explain that to the listeners.
That's pretty much an organic compound pretty much an organic spectrum of light that's radiating from a place on Earth. Depending on the mineral compound of what the geographical location is made of. So if you were to go to, let's say, Glacier National Park, the resonance up there is different than the actual resonance in Smoky Mountains where you are in Asheville. So there's a different spectrum of light that people who've worked on their psychic senses or their sensitivities can just distinctively see different colors or feel a different resonance there. And it has to do with vortex energy.
Got you. Okay, so you're basically researching people's different frequency sort of responses to different elements or makeups that they're around?
Correct. And also facilitating events and gatherings where people can come and be the experience where they can literally partake in techniques where they can amplify their resonance because you're a walking bioplasmic conduit pretty much, radiating emotional energy. As well as mental energy. So as you're able to focus and be aware of your own resonance, you can then amplify that resonance and even transcend your vibration and merge it with an existing vortex that is already putting out energy.
Now, how did you get into the study of this? Like, when was your awakening? I know you're young. How old are you? You're in your 20s.
Yeah, I'm 26 years old.
26. So what age did you get into knowing that you were a master, you were aware of these energies? When did it really sink in that, you know, what you've been experiencing probably as a little kid, it was really, you know, your calling and who you were? When was your, like, awakening?
As a child, I grew up pretty much knowing that there was some supernatural and paranormal phenomenon going on around me because I would also hear stories and witness the actual situations of others who are going through life, midlife crises and whatnot, you know, aunts and uncles and so forth. And the seeing them go and seeking out help from an outside source, maybe a monk or a shaman of a high level of experience from a foreigner from Asia, as they would sit there and go through these readings and so forth and divine for themselves with this helper, I was able to witness the phenomenon and the truth that resonates. And watching the result come forth, I started understanding the process. But that allowed me to understand that I was capable of doing the same thing and always wanted to. So my motivation and drive to be excited about those types of things always led me to those types of experiences. And when I got to about 20 years old, that's when I really had a shift in my perspective of wanting to know more about what the human body was capable of physically and learning about what intake, talking about nutrition and healthy organics, what would it take for the human body to go into that natural state of sensitivity to even perceive that type of phenomena on a deeper level? So I learned a lot about physics and wave physics and frequencies and what they do and how to supercharge organic materials and finding the most abundant source of living organic elements in raw form using solar energy, which is sea salt. So just kind of exploring the DNA and how DNA absorbs minerals at a parts per million scale and how superconductive it can become, that's when I really had my initial awakening to the physicality of what we're capable of. It wasn't until I was about 22 years old where I actually had my spiritual awakening, so to speak, where I actually dived deeply into the understanding of how meditation and science of the consciousness works, the non-physical contact of martial arts. So that is when I actually, you know, realized more of a technique to get there for myself, which uses toning and vocalization and vocal expression to release specific types of emotional blocks. So as I had gone through that process, I began to remember things after peeling layer after layer off of my field and off of my resonance which gave me an alias, if you will, by the people, where they started calling me a tone master. That was pretty much given to me, whether I liked it or not.
Gotcha.
By my peers and sponsors.
Yeah. And talking about that, when you just talked about peeling layers off, I experienced when I first met you a few months ago here in Asheville, when you had your device, the Arcatron, and I was also there with August Worley, who I had on the show with the Paradigm, and both those machines together were amazing. But I remember you explaining your machine, the Arcatron, and that it basically peels layers off of like your consciousness or auroric field or however you explained it. And I remember that after the experience itself and being there, that you could actually feel the energies. Everyone was putting their hand inside the Arcatron. You could feel the different energies, like really feel them, like almost as if you could, you know, see them. They were so thick. And one of the things that I experienced was I actually felt when I left that night, like different layers of like my ego maybe was shed off. And I remember I was like, that night and the next morning, like crying, and like I remember just like, whoa, like something definitely shifted, because I was nonstop just like, you know, couldn't stop thinking about just like the energies, and something had just felt like lifted, like shed like an onion. That's exactly how I felt. So tell everyone exactly what is the Arcatron and what exactly do you use it for?
Yes, I'm glad the Arcatron is a art piece that is a resonator. It resonates sound and vibration. Even a thought is resonating at a specific frequency that can also be picked up. And this Arcatron literally is an amplifier of that resonance. And it's also been attuned by the inventor Nick Edwards, out of Burbank, California. He's developed an arc where it's 12 inches long and bent to a specific ratio. And it's made out of anodized titanium. So it's a specific arc that's made out of anodized titanium that's really lightweight for specific reasons having to do with gravity. And it's bent to a particular ratio, an arc. I can't remember what the degrees is, but it's aligned with the Fibonacci sequence and harmonics. And when a sound actually hits this tube, pretty much what it looks like, an arc tube, the frequency goes into this tube, and tubes resonate the best. That's why they use them in instruments. That it aligns the frequency to a very high octave. And when that begins to reflect and reverberate with everything around it, it creates a entropy effect where it consistently builds and amplifies and sheds density. And I use that in conjunction with a few other devices that are used to clear energy locations or clear the space. It's kind of like digital feng shui, if you will. So when you use your voice around this Arcatron, it consists of 60 arcs and put together by silica carbon-based connector pieces. When you actually put them together, it creates a sphere of 60 different arcs that begin to reverberate anybody's signature resonance from their voice within that thing. And it's really, really powerful. It broadcasts beyond beyond distance, is what we can understand, and it also goes inwards into a particle, fractalizing. So it's really, really interesting, the discoveries we're making with this simple art piece that was basically made out of art or for art that became such a powerful tool for transformation.
Wow. And when you're talking about you could hook up other machines to it, I remember that one of the machines you had, you could put like a stone on it or a crystal or a blade of grass, and it would take that resonance, that frequency, and then amplify it through the Arcatron. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, that's how we use crystals, and we're finding valuable ways to use and work with crystals in conjunction with these devices. Is these tools just help us and assist us with facilitating space for us to have an ease in trying to remember ourselves and really working on ourselves. It's just the will. When you use your will in conjunction with these devices, manifestation becomes very, very efficient. And that's where I am really looking at focusing on is a pretty much introducing advanced techniques and ways of how to use machines and devices in conjunction with our intentions and how we can manifest our purpose.
That's what's up. There you go. That's a good mission to have. And one of the things also that you do is Diksha Oneness Blessing, which is a sort of like breathing technique, an ordained minister, a sonic alchemist, event producer. So you're doing multiple things all at the same time and tying them all together into really oneness and using your toning and to really just weave everything together, like the creative arts you do, financial consultant, creative financing, all these different things, wellness facilitator, all these different things you do. Basically, you tie them all together. You tie them all together by using toning. Is that how you get the message?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to do it. Toning is, I've noticed I was a few of those things before I started toning. But I've noticed that that's my lifestyle naturally, is doing those things. But when I actually picked up toning back in 2008, I've noticed an increased amplification. I'm just out, you know, through the roof, talking about deja vu in a whole different context on steroids. Being able to experience things you think about within an instant, where it almost gives you the idea of how simultaneous realities are all weave together, and what you're actually picking up on within yourself using toning and removing all those blocks. You're creating pathways, not only like neural pathways, but also resonances and ley lines, almost as if you're connecting to these different types of objects and outcomes and results and opportunities in real time physically as well. So that's what I've noticed with the toning that actually assisted with weaving all of it together, but finding that there is an actual market. I'm not trying to market myself or, you know, go out there and put this out there, but I've noticed that as I practice for myself, you know, I'll go to a park, I'll go to a mountain, I'm doing my research that I do, go to rivers and stuff and go into nature, or even to a very busy spot into a city with lots of traffic, and I'll do some research there, and I'll notice that there's an attraction that occurs with a lot of people who are like-minded, who don't really get to talk about these types of things often, and who really are hungry for this type of content. And after being able to go out there and experience this for myself, because I'm just like them, I find that it's like a magnet that all these people come together, and they're looking for that type of experience. They're looking for some type of community-based experience where they can all come together and have an intention and be able to vocalize from that space and master themselves. So that's where I've like seen this weave together and pretty much complementing all the things that I've already been doing, which has helped my success from the actual practice itself.
And now you travel all over the country and you do different workshops and toning things at different events. And how long you been doing on the circuit? How long you been doing it now? 4 years? 5 years?
Yeah, I've been traveling and doing, well, for about 5 years, well, not five, six, since 2005, I've been really just going around traveling and having getting the experiences necessary to, you know, shedding those layers, because I was consistently working on myself, doing different types of techniques and meditation, and diving deeply into the understanding of how energy works and how I can amplify my resonance. And through that process, it really brought me to all the people, all the inventors, engineers, and all across the map. And it was really them, that their work, that inspired me to come and see them. So they became a part of the mission, meaning I would go to them and seek out their inventions and see how they could complement each other and use them in conjunction to amplify the resonance in a specific area. And all the ideas and inspiration came from the process and the experience of getting there to where I am now. So, yeah, traveling and going to the mountain ranges, I used to pay to do all that. I used to go there and literally pay my way to get to all these places to experience it myself. And after walking into these vortex and then receiving that download, if you will, because that spectrum of light literally will transform or mutate your DNA to an extent and degree. And as I did that, I noticed that wherever I went, people would feel that, and I started summoning energy. I started building a foundation of energy that people were feeling. So you'd literally feel this around me, and people who have been doing grid work, as they call it, going to different sacred sites all over the world, and doing this type of work, they have the same type of effect. And just linking them together and coordinating them with the events that I produce, when there's a group in mass and we're able to vocalize an intention, the entire grid system, crystalline grid system of the Earth, would actually go through the effects and transcend exactly at that moment at the same time. So it was really, really cool doing all that, and it brought me to where I am now. And I got to say, it's been exciting because seeing the transformation in other people's lives, that's what gave me the support that I needed necessary to continue doing what I did. And now I actually have sponsors from different organizations and nonprofits that are assisting me with getting this type of work out there in this organic way.
That's awesome, man. That's really what's up, because for someone at 26 years old and you've been on the circuit, on the grind, spreading love and light for a long time now, but consciously since you're 20, I guess that you had your quote-unquote awakening. But that's awesome because, you know, the young, the youth, us, are so powerful, and that's why it's so important to get this message out to our generation, is because, you know, the light workers that have been here for 30, 40 years, 20 years, they're tired, and it's time for us to step up to the plate and bring in these new energies, because we are filled with energy. And that's why it's so important to do festivals like the one we have coming up, like the Zen 1111, where we're, you know, it's really engineered to get self-sustainability and concepts like that into the younger people and younger generation. And you do the same thing with your own events that you produce. And before we go and end the interview, send out one message or something to all the listeners to, you know, just leave an imprint in their mind, about these energies in 2012 and what's going on. Just give a little piece of what you think, people should be aware of.
Okay. For all the work that everybody has done throughout all ages, for every mind that is awakened and have been selfless and being of service with compassion, they have opened so many hearts that has literally shifted the resonance of the earth. And since there are so many beings who are working with the light all around the world, it has also shifted the resonance in this moment now that allows it easier for people to tune in. If you were to try to tune in the 90s, or even 10 years ago, it would be a lot harder than it would be now to be able to receive the downloads of the information in the resonance of the earth now. So the best thing to do is feel gratitude and appreciation for no reason at all, for no cause, just to do it. And in that process of being able to feel those vibrations, that emotion, that is a skill. And to master that skill will allow you to have access to infinite possibilities and solutions to any outcome or result. And that is my message, is to be at peace. Yes.
That's what's up, Starbro. That's a great message, man. And thanks again for coming on the show. And I will talk to you soon, as always. And with that, I'm going to play one more track from Destination Lounge Hong Kong, and I'll be right back to wrap up the show and go over the 14 conspiracy theories that the media now admits are conspiracy facts. We'll be right back after this track. And welcome back. Real quickly, we're going to go over the 14 conspiracy theories that the media now admits are conspiracy facts. And with that, I will start off with number one, which is something we've been talking about a lot on the show since it happened, is the Fukushima incident. All the media outlets at the beginning said there was no meltdown, nothing happened, everything is okay. And just a few weeks ago, Japan finally admitted that there is a meltdown, a couple meltdowns, at the reactors. So at first, everyone was like, oh, that's not true. All the media outlets are saying everything is fine. And it was not. Number two, U.S. military attack on Libya. At the beginning of this year, no one would have dreamed the U.S. military would have attacked Libya this year, but it happened. And as you all know, this week we also helped the quote-unquote rebels attack the main town, city of Tripoli, and try to overthrow it. At first, when Obama went on the news, he said there will not be any involvement of U.S. and there won't be any ground forces and no U.S. strikes and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the U.S. and UE and UN have been bombing nonstop the last couple months, and it's just another war in the Middle East that we entered, which is the sixth one now in the Middle East. So that was number two. Number three, widespread use of RFID chips in humans. We've been talking about this. The doubters said it would never happen, but actually all over the world, including even Mexico, thousands of worried Mexicans have been installing and having implants of satellite and radio frequency tracking products implanted in their skin in order to protect themselves against abduction. People said the chips would never happen. They are being used all over the world. Number four, people said gold prices would never get near $2,000. And not only just $2,000, but it was going to have a bubble at the beginning of the year, and it was going to explode, you know, at $1,400 and then crash, which it never did. Just this last week, it got up to almost $1,900 an ounce of gold, $1,900, and it appears to keep going much higher as the global financial instability intensifies. So number four, people said that gold would never get above $2,000. Not true. It's going to get there. It's almost there last week. Number five, Obama wants to impose backdoor amnesty. This was when people were like, oh, that's a total conspiracy theory. Obama would never do that. Well, it has happened. The Obama administration has now instituted backdoor amnesty for illegal immigrants and even has plans to provide them with work permits. It happened. Number six, U.S. government provides weapons for Mexican drug cartels. For a long time, everyone was like, that's a conspiracy theory. We talked about it here on the show. And now it is public record that it turns out the U.S. government has facilitated the transfer of thousands of guns into the hands of Mexican drug cartels in a program called the Fast and Furious. And more than 11 people, including some of the head people for the ATF, have come forward and admitted that. Number seven, we talk about this all the time, fluoride. Finally, the federal agency and other news outlets have been coming clean with saying that fluoride is and has been admitting high levels of fluoride in our drinking water can be harmful. In fact, the feds have reduced the recommended amount of fluoride in our drinking water for the first time in 50 years. Well, that's great, but no fluoride, please. No fluoride is what we need. Not just some, none, zero. Number eight, the Federal Reserve favors the big banks. Well, we know that. They're always bailing them out. We were always told by the media that the Federal Reserve was above politics and that it did not show favoritism. Well, we all know that the Fed is deeply corrupt, and about the only people that they actually help are their friends, the other people that they bail out with billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars that they've been using over the last year to bail their friends out. And number nine, cell phones linked to cancer. We've been talking about this, how cell phone signals have been killing trees, killing bees, and now cell phones linked to cancer. People said, oh, that's never happened. Cell phones, they'd never put things that in cell phones that would give you cancer. Well, it has now been linked to cancer. Number 10, the credit rating agencies are corrupt. We've all known about that. We have all been taught that the credit rating agencies are supposed to be objective, but in the real world, things are not that simple. For example, just a short time along after long-term U.S. government debt was downgraded, the head of Standard & Poor's is resigning and is being replaced by Douglas Peterson, the former COO of Citigroup. Of course. Do you think the former CEO of Citigroup is going to come down hard on his former comrades over at the big Wall Street banks? The answer is no. Number 11, prescription drugs kill a lot of Americans. I didn't really know how many it killed. We've talked about it on the show, but the latest figures show 200,000 Americans every year get killed by prescription drugs, and people would say, oh, that would never happen. Our government knows, you know, would warn us and da-da-da-da, but that's not true. The prescription companies here, in lieu with our government, has been pumping them out, and estimated 200,000 Americans every year die because of prescription drugs that are prescribed to them. Number 12, bisphenol A is linked to infertility, and this is a chemical that is found in thousands upon thousands of plastic products all over, drinking bottles and everything. People said that would never happen. Our government would never do that. And now UK newspapers have published entire articles admitting that, and it is being exposed. Number 13, the Super Congress is in the pocket of Wall Street interests. We all know that. And number 14, the targeting of Christian groups. We're increasingly hearing from the Obama administration and some members of Congress that we need to be really concerned about homegrown terrorists and Christian extremists. That is just another ploy to put people into fear and to try to take out or not back up people like us and call us conspiracy theorists, because we talk about the real issues and what's really going on. And with that, those are the 14 top conspiracy theories or conspiracy subjects we've talked about that now is coming to light in news outlets around the world. And with that, we have Monty the Crystal Pod coming up with us next week, Beloved and Richard Shulman. All the information will be on starseedenergyradio.com. And with that, light and love, Star Fam, enjoy the last track, Set Me Free, from Destination Lounge, Hong Kong.